So the title today is Why to Meditate. And naturally, what I feel like is to ask you, why do you meditate? So if anyone wants to say why you meditate,
initially, I started to meditate because I really wanted to change. Now I think I meditate because I realize that there is nowhere else to go anyway. You know, I've tried so many ways to run away from myself or problems, or tried so many things, and it's like nothing works. I feel like the only thing I can do is to sit with it. So maybe it's one of the reasons I meditate is that I've tried all other options and there's nothing else to do. That's my feeling.
And what tells you, or how do you know that in this, let's say, action of sitting or lying down, there is the potential for change?
I don't always know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure. But I've thought about it a lot of time. And also, you know, like, sometimes I get, when my, I can see people that have been meditating. I'm quite new to meditation. I've been doing this for 3 years seriously. But I can see people who have done it for 25 years or 30 years and they're still struggling with stuff, you know. So, the initial motivation to start is kind of, you know, I'm not really sure that the kind of change I wished for is possible, but there is something about having the courage to turn towards it instead of running away from it. And that gives a feeling of, or a sense of strength. And I can see that I can endure much more than I thought I could. It's like I have no other option. I mean, even though sometimes I think, what am I doing? You know, but still, I end up doing it because I don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Any other advice? Why to meditate?
I meditate as part of the daily life practice. And I do it in order to not get so caught up in things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the formal meditation, which I do twice a day, but that is interconnected with what I'm trying to do the rest of the time, which is just be with stuff and embrace it, or be at peace with it, or connect with it, or see it for what it is, understand it. And I find formal sitting practice feeds into that,
mm-hmm.
and makes me more likely to catch conditions catch, meaning be aware of them for the rest of the time, be less caught up in them, be less bad-tempered, to be happier, to have more of a sense of ease. And it's also part of a tradition that I kind of sign up to, so there's also that kind of ritualistic or faith element to it, mm-hmm. that I do it as part of training the monkey, that the monkey knows it's going to sit twice a day whether it likes it or not, so mm-hmm. it no longer protests.
Good.
And the benchmark or the test is whether the whole thing makes me more joyful, lighter, brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Which it does, because I was an incredibly grumpy, miserable person before. So I certainly got a lot of But the big catch is to avoid falling into, I've been doing it for 30 years, so I'm going to have a serene smile on my face the whole time. Because it doesn't work like that. For me, it's much more a case of the longer I do it, the more I connect with how things are,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to they're not necessarily always easier and I can still have very difficult moments or days,
mm-hmm.
but there's more of a connection with them and less, as the lady over there said, a walking away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Plus there is also an element of there isn't much choice beyond a certain point.
Yeah.
There's a slippery slope to, and you're on it, so you do it.
Any other boys?
I suppose I don't think of meditation only as now sitting on a cushion and lying down like this. But it's the way I keep myself, I go home to myself, and that if I'm not meditating, then very soon I get lost in the world. I'm aware that I'm not in my relationship with the world in all sorts of ways. I start sort of banging into the world and the world starts banging into me. And I don't have a sense of love towards it. And if I can meditate or keep in contact with the part of me that wants to respond to the yearning to go home to that place where I feel in the right relationship with the world and with myself, which is like a very peaceful place, very loving place. And sometimes it's not a comfortable place, because when I meditate, often I can see very clearly when I'm not in the right relationship, or when I'm not really, I'm coming from a place within me which isn't very healthy, or this is from my ego, or from a not very loving place. So it's not coming home to oneself by really trying to drop into the most honest bit of you. It's not always simple, and I wouldn't say it always makes me feel serene. But otherwise I feel exiled from myself.
Mm-hmm.
It is that I have to respond to the call to come home. That's what I see now.
I feel that the main thing I'm achieving or trying to do when I meditate is to understand myself.
Mm-hmm.
So like as my like an observer.
Mm-hmm. So there are many different ways why we meditate. Sometimes the intuition of having run out of any other idea, and it just seems, even though there is not much proof, it just seems that the only way, the only thing left is to sit, to lie down, just to meditate and be there with the mesh, with the non-mesh. Sometimes we do feel miserable and we want to get rid of that. Also, our common sense, our intuition, or our ability to connect with that which belongs to us tells us that probably we are not here to be miserable only. Or that probably there is a potential to live differently. There is the choice, there is the human ability. And sometimes it's just the only way to understand what the hell is going on here inside. There are all these thoughts popping, all these emotions taking us here and there and everywhere, and we don't know any longer which one of those emotions is more right to feel. Which one is really, really my own feeling, my own emotion, or is my partner's emotion, my father, my mother, my sister emotion. And sometimes just by being with it and observing it, we can start to have a sense of its origin. It's kind of revealing its origin. And by seeing it, we can move forward. We can give space to that so that it can dissolve, it can go away. Or if it is right, it can just stay. I like to hear many times, I do hear this, I started to meditate to find peace, or to be a better person, or either meditation or divorce, or whatever. And I like to see also how through the years, the why we start to meditate, it starts to not make sense anymore. Or in other words, the practice itself, the meditation itself, takes us somewhere that we never thought we were going to. It takes us further or somewhere else. Was not in our plans to go there. We started because of this, and somehow we are going there. In another direction. And I like to hear that, and I like to speak about that, because it feels crucial to me, this human ability to be creative with life. I like to say again and again that meditation is not like driving a car in the autoroute. where you just put the fifth gear and go. And nowadays you don't even need map. This machine, I don't have one of those, but I was just laughing when I saw one of those, like this thing that has a screen. But I don't know how people can drive, because you either look at the screen or you look at the road, but people do, I don't know. But also, there is now this screen speaks to you all the time. And it says like, now turn right. And if you get wrong, it says like, it comes like men, boys, like, turn around, get the right again. So there is no fifth gear, there is no autoroute, and there is no machine telling us turn right or turn left. Somehow we wish so. And I feel we do approach meditation thinking that this activity that I'm doing now, or that I'm starting now, of course will be a similar activity than any other activity that I do. There is a learning process, there are rules, and I just have to learn and listen and keep going. But through meditation, cannot be without our involvement, without our own creativity, without bringing in our potential. And as we move forward, we are asked more and more to put our whole being there. We start meditation because we want peace. That's a nice reason to start meditation. But how is then that we find ourselves dealing with our trauma of the childhood, you know, like it happened like 30 years ago or 50 years ago? What is the connection between wanting peace to having to deal with that? So is this kind of dangerous game or platform that we say yes to because we just have the intuition that that could be a right way to go, like a right thing to do. And somehow innocently we start, and then we are asked more and more and more and more and more. And I would say there is no end in this. We are asked to die in this process. And in a way, we are very lucky that no one told us in the beginning. Otherwise, I don't go there. I don't think no one would go there. And in this process, we again, have an approach pretty similar to any other activity. Like we approach meditation in a pretty similar way that we approach any other thing, our work or other activities in our lives. Somewhere very aware of the process. Like knowing where we are and the different steps we do. Or in other words, we approach meditation thinking that we do that and we know where we go. And I would say, if we know where we go, we didn't start meditating yet. And maybe it's important to do a distinction here between what I would call practice or technique, to follow a technique, and to meditate. To follow a technique is to follow a technique, even though internationally we call it meditating. I'm following my breath. I'm meditating. No, I'm following my breath. I'm observing my thoughts, or I'm observing what's going on here. So I'm meditating. No, I'm observing. I'm checking my thoughts. I'm catching what's going on. So what is meditation if it's not the technique itself? So perhaps there is some other option there. Perhaps there is another possibility in which we are not in control. If we can see tools are as tools, techniques are as techniques, they could be very helpful. It is wise to be in touch with the breath, even to hold on to the breath when what is going on is too much. It is helpful to take that rope and to keep going no matter what. And at the same time, the openness to the unknown is essential. Letting other realms to visit us, to enter the cells, the bones, everything. That has a transformative power. I see there are these two ways, that they are not enemies, but they are different ways. One would be to see our problems, to recognize my own problems, and to focus and to work with them in order to solve them. it is true that by looking something closer and closer and closer, like really closer, there is a chance to suddenly seeing that thing, that problem, that thing that we want to change, make plop. And we can see it with clarity. It can be solved, we could say. And that is the importance of the approach of seeing the problem and work with the problem. Again, to see the problem and to even see the answer of the problem one time, two times, three times, four times, it doesn't guarantee a change. It helps a lot, and it brings the possibility of choice. But it doesn't mean that automatically that changes. So it's not only about a clear moment, a clear seeing, but also a willingness of bringing that clear seeing, that clarity into our lives. And that which we saw clearly in our meditation, to take it with us home. As Tony was saying, it's not only the 2 times of meditation a day, but in which ways these 2 periods of meditations every day bring somehow clarity into the rest of the day. And that, those 2 moments and the rest of the day, slowly, slowly do make a difference in our lives and our families probably appreciate that, especially if I was crampy. And everything appreciates that. There is another way which doesn't take the problem and works with it, trying to see it clearly, doesn't catch the problem and looks at it, but this other way that say doesn't deny the problem and yet doesn't work with it, doesn't go catch it and see it and touch it till it becomes clearer. This other way doesn't focus on that, it relaxes back, we could say. Acknowledges that this is there, and yet one can see it beyond that. Or somehow plugging to another realm where this problem or that problem or that feeling or that emotion doesn't make any sense in the bigger picture. And it is important to see that this is not, I'm not speaking about escaping or running away. But perhaps in believing less in our approach of working with it. Because our approach of working with it is trying to fix it somewhere. Or is using the formula that we use in our life. Where there is a problem, we solve it. There is a situation, we do something about that. We are really well trained to do something about everything. We cannot just leave things at peace, like like just as they are, you know. And sometimes it's really appropriate to change and to go and scream in the street against this or against that, I think. Probably we all have done some of that. And there are moments where it's really not appropriate to do that. So, what is this other force that has transformative power, and it doesn't rely on our force, on our ability to push, to change things. It's not that lying down in itself is the way or is the answer. But I do feel that in the lying down practice there is more predisposition or more is easier to do less, to focus less in trying to change something, and to relax more into that which naturally wants to change. And here could be the huge movement between me changing, me moving towards, or becoming in touch with this seed, with this deep reality of everything moving, wanted or not, towards the light. If we are able to rest in that truth, in that reality, then we can feel the cracking. We can see the movement without remedy, we could say. It's like a trend, even if we want to stop it. We could not. Resting back in this movement, in this light, and allowing our whole being to take this movement. Is meditation. I don't know if there is any question. Saying yes to that energy, to that being taken. Is saying yes to life. Even though probably what we will first notice is as if we had said yes to death. Somehow there is no way to stop there. When we say yes, for better or worse. To trust our uniqueness has no price. We can listen to many people, we can try millions of techniques, we can go to 1,000 monasteries, Everyone will come up with some better solution. Even my words, you know. What sinks in, what feels right to you, what makes sense to you, what speaks to you today, in this moment, which maybe is not the case tomorrow. That is what is good to take and to digest, or just to let it drop in and see what happens, see what brings. So to trust this uniqueness of your own path, your own way, is an act of courage. Once you say yes, what has to come is totally unexpected. And we don't have any other option than being with the unexpected. And in every different phase of the unexpected, somehow we have to trust that some creative way to be with that will also come. It is important to know that to listen and to honor your own humanity, your creativity, your capacity to deeply listen and to know what's right in each moment, can take you and will take you to many places that probably you never thought of. And that is beautiful. We cry for belonging. We, as humans, I see we so much want to belong somewhere, to be part of some group, to be understood, to be to be part of some group, some club. It's as if we exist through these identities. And I'm not saying that it's wise to throw the whole thing away, the whole need to belong, because it seems that it's a need. But yet I would bring a little reflection into, just to check which price am I paying in order to belong. Or in other words, when or in which situations my common sense, my belly, my intuition clearly is telling me to go this way. But the norm, the group, the should, tells me not to. And I'm saying this because this happens like day after day in our very cushion.
In our, sorry?
Very cushion.
Oh, okay.
Or bed. You know. We are constantly in this process of meditation, we are constantly in crossroads,
mm-hmm.
in points where we have two options. One is to follow what we think we should follow, or what we heard we should follow, or to look little behind or deeper, which answer comes within myself, which idea, which creative idea comes within myself telling me no, this way or that way. Just to check that, because it's so amazing how many times we sell ourselves, like we choose the book, we choose the neighbor, the parents, the partners, whatever, instead of our own voice. And when we really, really start to follow our own voice, and we all have this voice, no. No, it doesn't count to say, I don't have this voice. But what happens is that sometimes it speaks so, like this whispering. There's no way to hear, but you will listen somehow if there. So when we start to follow our own voice, we actually start to find joy in this which we call meditation. So we start to embrace meditation and take it as celebration. And that which I was doing because I don't know what else to do with my life. There is no solution. I tried psychologists and all these people. I paid so much money and then nothing happens. Or very little bit. Little bit happens. Okay. Then I'm not just doing meditation because I don't know what the hell to do anymore. But because it's my joy. Because it's a celebration. It's a place of meeting. Within ourselves or with the gods. And that has a transformative power that at least I can say I had never experienced through any other thing, no matter with which intensity I tried. So we just sit or lie just quietly for a couple of minutes or so.